Oh, I don't want to start the clock yet. Doug's got me all messed up now. I'm sorry, Doug. I do apologize. I was going to tell you, interrupt you and tell you that, Doug, your time, you have so many minutes when you started that clock, but you were on a roll. I don't want to stop you from being on that roll. At this time, our next speaker will be Brother Walter McCoy from Paris, Tennessee. Paris, Tennessee. And Walter's a very good friend. I talk to Walter quite often on the phone. He'll be preaching on We Are His Workmanship.
All right. We thank the Lord for this opportunity to be here today. Kind of a toss-up when I was going to get to come or not. My wife's been sick for about a month, but she got better. And so we were able to come. I learned a whole lot that month. Learned how to wash dishes, make up beds, do all these things that I never knew hardly existed. But you learn those things when something like that happens. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This is my favorite verse, I believe, of all the Bible. And it is very straightforward in what it presents. And I've used it many times to stop the mouth of the heretic. When they start telling me about how they accepted Christ and how they done this, and how they ask the Lord to come into their heart and all of that, I said, well, sound to me like you worked all this out yourself. I said, the Bible says we are His workmanship. Not that we're working it out ourselves, but that He has worked it out already. And I don't believe there can be any blessed assurance and any salvation apart from the workmanship of the grace of God upon our soul. And for one to have a change in their life, and a life that will live for the Lord, then there must first come the work of God upon the soul. If this is not true, then certainly there's no life from God that is there. Our world today is dominated by humanism, the philosophy of the worldly-minded men, and with this, there is little done or little said in favor of the child of God and the things of God. For a very young age, and from a very young age, our children are simply told that if they'll think better, they'll do better. And if they do those things that are right, then they'll be right. It is said in our that our human effort is all that we need that we can to change society and to change our own life. And we can make ourselves happy in all of this if we just simply think the right way. Well, the Bible speaks very differently from that. The Bible teaches us that it is not in man to have a lasting peace, not on this earth. His peace is short-lived on this earth. His happiness is short-lived. His prosperity is like a roller coaster, up and down, here and there. His safety is beyond measure today. There's hardly any place you can go where you can really feel safe. The weeping prophet Jeremiah had something to say about this. In chapter 10, verse 21, he said, I know that the way of man is not within himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So what do we need? It is not in us to direct our steps. We cannot direct our own steps. Then how can we walk with God? And this is God's commandment, walk with Him. And how can we do that if we cannot even direct our own steps? Well, the simple thing is that God must work the will and the do within the soul. And without Him working the will and the do, then a man is continuing in his lost, unsaved condition, and of course needs the grace of God within his soul. I have about three or four points pertaining to this subject. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. To begin with, the Bible plainly teaches us that we're sinners. Now, those who might think they're not are thinking falsely, because we are sinners. We're sinners of the worst kind. The Bible tells us that we're sinners by nature. We come into this world as a sinner. We are sinners by practice, and we are sinners by choice. This is what we love. This is what we wish for and hope for. And the worst thing of all of this, there is nothing whatsoever at all that we can do to make ourselves better. It just simply cannot be done. The depraved nature of man can never change himself to be better than what he is. There used to be an old song, if you wait till you get better, then you'll never come to the Lord, because it just simply won't be. To be in such a depraved condition that we are leads us to the place where God has nothing to do with us. In fact, he won't even look down upon us. God looks upon us only through the Lord Jesus Christ and his workmanship. This is what God sees when he looks upon every child of God. We are guilty sinners from the bottom of our feet to the top of our head, and we're all a lonesome thing. We're just a sick, lonesome thing in the sight of God. In the third chapter of the book of Romans, and I'm not going to use all of this verse, but it tells us that this sinful world and what we are in it. And it tells us that we're no better than they. That we're all under sin, and there's none that feareth God. And we see that today everywhere we go. No one fears God today. This is, I believe, one of the greatest sins of all the universe. People don't fear God. God's children don't fear him anymore as we should. And there's a lot of difference in fear and being afraid. I'm not afraid of God because I know I'm in his hand. But I do fear God. I know his awesome power and his might that he is. And it makes you cling to the fear of God. We get the world today knows nothing of this and care less about presenting themselves in the fear of God. This is why we have so many catastrophes around the world today. I was not watching, but someone the other day was watching one of the automobile racing scenes, and they had a bad crash where I think there was one killed. Well, that's what people are looking for. There's no fear of God, so they become daredevils in every way they can. And there's just simply no fear of God in their eyes today. The downfall of many Christians, they fail to see the power of God, the wisdom of God, and therefore they fear not God in his ways. Secondly, it's the gospel of Christ that gives us the power that is needed for this workmanship to be formed. For this change to take place in our life, it requires the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God. Not the Word of God alone, not the Holy Spirit of God alone. But they both work together in this great change. The Apostle Paul learned this in a personal experience as he was there on the road to Damascus. And I believe this is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible that reveals the grace of God to us about this old Saul who was on the road to Damascus. An old sinner, bar none, he said he was the chiefest of all sinners. Well, there's been a lot of chiefs since then, but he was one. There's no question about that. And the story of this old man on the road to Damascus, he thought he was on the right road. He thought he was in the right place. He thought he was a righteous man. He thought he was a holy person. He was very zealous of all that he'd done. He thought he was pleasing God. He kept the law of Moses as close as anyone could. The Jews, of course, the nation of Israel, they applauded him because he was able to keep the law of Moses, and therefore they were well pleased because he was persecuting the saints round and about Jerusalem. But Saul learned something that day. He came face to face with the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ. He's the gospel. And Saul came face to face with the gospel that day. And from that day on, he was a changed man. He no longer loved his old way and his old life, but he now loved the things that he once hated. And I believe that's a requirement that is in the life of every child of God. When God saves us, these old things should and must pass away. And all things must become new. And I think there'll be evidence of that when a person is really saved by the grace of God. Evidence of old things passing away and all things becoming new will be visible in our sight. Saul was a changed man from that time. From that day on, he was a promoter of the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation, to everyone believe. And only the workmanship of God could have changed Saul of Tarsus in the way that he was changed. And you say, yes, you're right, that's amazing. But then look within yourself. Only the grace of God could change you. No other way could you be changed but by the marvelous grace of God. So this gospel must be preached. And then the Spirit of God must work. He is the agent in this workmanship. He is the one that goes forth and calls out and shows the redeeming blood of Christ to the sinner. And we believe beyond any doubt that the gospel of Christ, it must be preached, but we also believe that it must be applied by the Spirit of God. I remember several years back, many years, and some of you wasn't around back then, but there was a pretty good controversy that came out in the Baptist Examiner. And I think there was three or four people wanting to debate your dad on this subject. They accused him of being a word regenerator. And of course, there's nothing far from the truth in that. The Word and the Spirit of God go together in this workmanship. He works within, and He changes us from the within to the without. The will and the how to do according to His good pleasure is the promise that God gives us in His Word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 13, 14, He said, "In whom you also trusted, after you heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and therefore we are redeemed as the purchased possession of God." And how? By the work of the Spirit of God, and by the Word of God, as God Himself works within the soul to bring about this marvelous change. The Apostle Peter said something of this truth in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, "Since you have come to believe and into obedience to the truth of God, to see that you see to it now that you love one another with a pure heart, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible Word of God." So the workmanship of God goes on. And as we progress and as we come into this knowledge of the grace of God and living in the life that God would have us go, we see that God's workmanship is working continually in the heart of the believers of God. Now, there's no question about the fact that when God has worked within our soul, we are new creatures. We because God has worked this upon us, we are the new creatures of God. I love that chapter or that verse in Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, where he says, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn thee." That's the work that brought us into the knowledge of the grace of God. Yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love, therefore I draw thee. Those that God loves, he draws. I heard a preacher preaching the other day. He said, God loves everybody. Of course, you know that old rim. And God's trying to do this, do that for everybody. There's nothing said about the love of God, only the fact that he loves everybody. Well, he doesn't. But he does love a great multitude. And that great multitude, he'll let them know it. That's one thing about it. What God says, he'll back it up. And he'll let them know what he has said and what he has done. There's several things to learn when God has worked this work upon us. When we're created anew or born again, we are bought with a price. This is one thing that we come to know. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, he says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's." Now think about that for a moment. Whose body is it? Whose body is he referring to? You say, well, mine. This is my body. Well, the Lord here says it's his. He says it's his body. He says spirit and God, which are God's. So many, many times we abuse our bodies because we should not, because this is God's. And it is God's workmanship. The whole creation, of course, is God's workmanship. And this is a special way in which God has worked. And, of course, more so when we are born again into the Spirit of God. Look just for a moment at some of the works that we are unable to do. There are some works that we can never do. Each individual, I believe, is separated into these works. But we are ordained to have good works. Some people by the Lord for us to perform. And there are some works, of course, that we cannot. But then there are many that we do, and some that we should do that we don't. First of all, there's faithfulness. Faithfulness is a good work that God has left his people to do. He's not asking too much for his people to be faithful in every way. And when God has asked us to be faithful, then it means a lot. It means a lot to you and to me and to God himself to be faithful with God. And then love to the brethren. This also tells us a great deal. Where there's no love to the brethren, there may not be no love from God, because that is the commandment that God gives. Love you one another, even as I have loved thee. So these things are the wonderful things that God has done for us in our body. We're, of course, to live a sacrificing life in this body. When it comes to the place to where we serve in God, then it's always a blessing to sacrifice for the things of God. It's a blessing for us in every way. In the book of Ephesians, again, in chapter 4, we have there, in chapter 4 and verse 23, 24 and 25, I believe it is. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. To put on the new man is not all that easy done at times. We all fall short and come short of the glory of God in that. But yet that is the commandment that God gives us, that we pull off this old man and put on the new man, that we may walk in him. There's many false so-called faith that are in the world today. And this time in which we live, we need evidence that our faith is accordingly to the evidence that God the Holy Spirit has worked within. We are His workmanship. And being God's workmanship, it will show through. Now, this whole thing about one being saved and not knowing that God is the Lord until years later, I don't quite buy that. I think when God saves us, we're saved. And immediately, things begin to change. And we become show forth that God has really done a workmanship upon us. It comes down to this fact that it is all God's workmanship. Now, I realize that there's responsibility that we have as the children of God, and we should endeavor to follow and to keep those responsibilities as best we can in every way. But even that, when it is all said and done, when we cross over to the portals of glory, we're going to find that it's all God's workmanship from the very beginning to the end. He worked it all out. He brought it about. And He has completed it. And the only thing that's lacking in the sight of God is the glorification of His children. And how we look for that today. The grace that saves us is God's workmanship. No one can deny that knows anything about the Word of God. His grace that saves us is His workmanship. The grace that keeps us saved is God's workmanship. And this cannot be changed in any way. And then the church that the Lord Jesus Christ organized certainly was His workmanship. Amen. You look at this church today, it would not have existed today if it was not the workmanship of God. I've always said this in the years that I've preached, where God wants a church, He'll have one. And where He wants to remove a church, He'll remove it. And it's all in His hands. So all of this boils down to the fact that the great workmanship of God is that which we desire and that which we love and we want to follow till the rest of the days of our life. I'm going to quit there. I don't know what time it is. Brother, is it up to you? You're gaining today. You're gaining today. I'll give you about 4 minutes. I'll give you about 8 or 9. But okay. Did I get one of these suckers when I go off?
That's for being a good boy. The best advice I can give you is don't think the next preacher is going to do that.